Trinity.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Wow, that was a little weak. Good morning, everyone. Hey, much better, much better. Glad you all are here this morning. We've been doing this series called Things God Loves, and looking at, well, a number of things God loves. And the last few weeks, we've been in a specific passage of Scripture because it has a list of many of those things in all in one passage. So we've been focusing in on Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And I want to read that. You can pull it open in your Bibles if you like. I'm going to be reading from my notes here. But here's what Paul writes, Colossians 3, 12 through 17. He says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, when we first rolled into this passage, Paul starts listing off these individual things in verse 12, right? In verse 12, he says, you know, we should have compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Kind of one word summary, but when he gets to verse 13, he talks about another one of the things that God loves, which is mercy. Now, he doesn't specifically say the term mercy here. He uses some other things to describe it, but that's our focus for this morning. God loves mercy. And this topic, at least according to what Paul writes here, takes more than just a one-word summary. It needs some elaboration. It needs things to be broken down a little bit further. So Paul says this, verse 13, and we'll pull this one up. Verse 13, that we are to be bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Now, we're going to focus in on that first phrase first, bearing with one another. The word that we translate bear with is anekomai, and it means to hold up or to bear with. It also is described as to endure, to have patience with, to suffer through, and to persist, right? It really goes pretty much hand in hand with what Scott talked about last week, which is patience, right? And by the way, Scott did a great job on the message while I was out of town, and he did a great job. He always does a great job, but I would encourage you, if you missed that, go back and listen to it, all right? Watch it on our Facebook page, and we'll get that up by tomorrow on our podcast as well. But it was great talking about patience. Well, this one kind of goes a little bit hand in hand when it talks about mercy. And talking about here specifically bearing with one another. Now, we might, looking at that description, we might put it something like this. It's to put up with someone or to tolerate something, right? Now, generally, I don't know about you, but that's not something I'm very good at, right? Many of us are not very good at it. And yet God does it with us all the time. All the time. He's insanely patient with us. Now, it's interesting. I was on vacation, as I said, this past week. We were staying with some friends on Lake Superior. And one of the things we did was checked out some of the shops in the local towns. And there were all these signs, these coasters and plaques and things with funny sayings on it. One of them was this. It says this: "I'm sorry for pushing all your buttons. I was just trying to find the mute." Right? So We had a really good laugh about that one because, look, it's like putting up with someone, isn't it? Bearing with someone. Now, the one that really stood out to me was this one, though. Watching a squirrel cross the road in front of a car must be how God sees me trying to live my life. Right? Just all over the place. Now, in a not-so-ironic twist, just a couple of days ago, when once we were home, Sherry came home after work and said, yeah, I ran over a squirrel today. She's like, they were just running chaotically in front of the car, and I tried to slow down. And she said, look, I tried to aim around him, and if he would have just stayed still. But the reality was, is I could hardly blame her for that happening, because on our way to our vacation, I actually ran over a turtle. Yeah, I know, you would think it'd be easy to miss. It wasn't running around frantically, it was just laying there, but a car swerved in front of me and I didn't see it, and I couldn't avoid him. I felt really bad, and that crunching noise was pretty awful. Just want to let you in on my life a little bit, right? But like a squirrel running around in front of a car. That sounds about right sometimes for how we're living our life, doesn't it? Like, that's how God must see us. And yet he's so patient with us. He bears with us. He puts up with us. So, of course, he expects us to do the same with people around us, Christians or not. Right, Proverbs 19:11 says this, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Right? Think about that. It is our glory for us to overlook an offense. The Hebrew word here for glory is also used to describe beautiful things. Things like diamonds and jewels and fine clothing. Like overlooking an offense of someone is our glory. It's one of the things that makes us beautiful people. Now, that's not easy to do, but we do it because of what God has done for us, right? Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:19, for this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly, right? That's about enduring, putting up with something when we've been wrong. We do it because we are mindful of God. We're mindful of what he's done for us. We're mindful about he has overlooked our offenses, and then we do the same with other people. Now, overlooking an offense doesn't mean that we aren't hurt, doesn't mean that we aren't wounded by their actions, but we are going to choose not to engage any kind of payback, refuse to let bitterness set in and take over. Whether it's in a marriage or in a family relationship or in a friendship, right, there are some things about other people that drive us crazy. Right? Examples, dirty clothes on the floor again. Showing up late for everything. Chewing your food too loudly. I mean, maybe it gets more personal if we have to endure like a sarcastic tone or comment or cold shoulder or a scolding look from someone. Right? Now, oftentimes, they don't intend to be harmful. They don't intend to mean anything harmful by it. They don't intend to hurt us with the comment or the action, but they do. And yet, rather than turning it into a big deal, we overlook it. We bear with that. Now, obviously, sometimes we have no choice but to confront it. And look, if there's sin involved in the process, then yeah, we should have a talk about that. You know, now hopefully it can be a constructive and productive conversation about it rather than a fight. But sometimes it's just about a personal preference or a personality style. And we have to overlook those things. We overlook the offense. We bear with one another, as Paul says. So overlooking an offense, bearing with one another, that's the first phrase here. And that's one thing, but then there's an even deeper level that God calls us to, and that's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. So forgiveness is freely giving favor or grace. In other words, granting someone pardon. Like basically, it's giving up your right to get back at someone when you've been wronged. Instead of showing vengeance or retribution or seeking punishment, you forgive. In other words, we show mercy, right? God loves mercy. And I think that's what Paul is really describing in this verse, what mercy looks like. Bearing with, verse 13 again, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you. Right? Let's think about that. Our God is a God of mercy, right? He's forgiven us in many different ways. Just consider three of them. Three ways that God has forgiven us, or maybe more of how God has forgiven us. And the first thing is this, that God's forgiveness, he's forgiven us fully. He's forgiven us fully. In Isaiah 1:8, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Now, he could have used a number of different analogies here, but the idea is that these sins are completely removed. I want you to think about this, following with me on this, but when we talk about baptism, we talk about the Great Commission, we're called to baptize others in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What we're being called to do is to bring people, help bring people into association with Jesus. That word for baptize there, it's the picture of taking, say, a white cloth and dipping it into, say, a red dye. And once you do that, that white cloth and that red dye, they're no longer separate. They become intertwined. They become one. You can't pull them apart. These two things have come together, and now they're one. And it's indiscernible almost, where one leaves off and one the other begins, right? That's a picture of what happens with baptism with us. We come into association with Jesus. We become one with him when we come to believe and put our faith and trust in him, and we become something new, right? And those two things are not supposed to be taken apart. They can't be taken apart. Now, if you could take that picture of baptism, and when it comes to sin, now think of the exact opposite. Right, our sin sticks to us. Right, it is impossible to remove our sin from ourselves. But when God forgives us, he removes it completely. Though our sins are scarlet, they shall become white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool that hasn't been touched. Right, it's like God pulls the dye from the fabric. He removes our sin fully. Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." Look, east from west, there's no end to those directions. They continue, and they continue, and they continue. The gap is infinite. That's how far our sin is removed from us. So God forgives us, first of all, fully. The second thing is that he forgives us faithfully. He forgives us faithfully. When we mess up, we often doubt whether God can forgive us for what we've done. Like, we know in our minds that God forgives, in general, right? But does he truly forgive me? I mean, I am really sorry for what I've done. I am. But can I really be sure he's not going to hold my sin against me? I mean, I've asked his forgiveness, but does he really forgive me? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you think about it, God is not like us. Right, when he promises something to us, it's reliable. You can count on it. He's not going to go back on his word. He's not going to go back on his promises. Scripture tells us that he is faithful even when we are unfaithful. God forgives, and he forgives us faithfully. And the third thing is that God forgives us forgetfully. He forgives us forgetfully. Right? Now, it's not just that God overlooks our sin and forgives us. He doesn't remember our sin anymore. He forgives and forgets. Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." Doesn't remember them. They're gone. Like, we have a hard time with that part. Like, we might be okay with the forgiving part, although that's, I know, that's a struggle. That can be hard. But forgiving is one thing, but then forgetting about that? Man, we tend to hang on to things. We get bitter. We even stir up that resentment by revisiting people's transgressions against us over and over and over. Like, we cling to that because it makes us feel justified of being angry for them. God doesn't. When he forgives, he forgets. He forgives forgetfully. Right? So God forgives fully. He forgives faithfully, and he forgives forgetfully. When we confess our sin to him, when we bear our hearts before him and ask for his forgiveness, he gives it to us. And Jesus is the one through whom that was made possible. This morning, we're going to take time to share in communion together, to take communion. Actually, we're going to kind of do it on our own. And everyone is invited to participate here at Portico in communion. We understand that the act of taking the bread and the juice, which represents Jesus' body and blood that he poured out on the cross, taking communion isn't what makes us right with God, but Jesus is who makes us right with God. Right? When we confess our sin, when we turn our hearts to him and confess our sin, he forgives us. He grants us that forgiveness and makes us white as snow. So as we come to communion this morning, it's not that this is some magical thing that makes forgiveness happen for us. It's because of what Jesus did. And I encourage you to remember that as you come. I'm going to ask you just to take a moment. We're going to just have some music that plays in the background here. I'm going to ask you to take a moment and just reflect and say, Lord, is there something I need to confess to you? Is there a way that I've sinned against you that I need forgiveness for? And we're going to trust and know that he forgives us fully, he forgives us faithfully, and he forgives us forgetfully. So let's take a few moments and reflect. And then on your own, when you're ready to take communion, feel free to come up. And you can take the communion right here at the table. There's a little bucket on the ground for the cup when you're done. I invite you to come when you're ready. Well, we have a few more things that we wanted to continue with this morning. I want to take us back to that verse, verse 13, which says, once again, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. So you also must forgive. We need to forgive others the way that God in Christ has forgiven us. Now, the more I thought about what do we have to say about that, what should I say about that, what should I preach about that, the more I felt like what was more important was that we take action doing it. So this morning, we're going to try to put forgiveness or mercy into practice. So what I want to do this morning, and if you have the paper and pen that was available outside, that's great. If you don't, Scott's going to pass some around so you can have it. I'm going to give you a few minutes. On one side of the sheet of paper, the first kind of activity that we're going to do is I'm going to simply ask you to make a list, to write down the names of some people that you may need to forgive. Right? People who have wounded you, people who have hurt you. And I'm also going to ask you to write down specifically, by the way, if you need a pen or paper, just stick your hand up and Scott will drop one off for you. I'm also going to ask you to write down what it is you need to forgive them for. Right? Specifically to name it. I think it's important that we name it and recognize how we've been wounded by that person. Okay, so I'm just going to give a few minutes. Again, the music's going to play in the background. just want to give a couple of minutes to think of a few people that you may need to extend forgiveness to. I know that can be a hard thing. I'm going to ask you to do the hard thing this morning. So write their name down and what it is specifically that you may need to forgive them for. Let's go ahead and take a few minutes and do that. As you're writing these names down, I want to ask you to consider maybe the next step of things. That when you look at the names on this list, things that maybe they've wounded you with, these sins, I would just ask you to consider which of these sins are the ones that God doesn't want you to extend forgiveness for. Right? Which of the sins listed on your list are the ones he wouldn't forgive? And spoiler alert, in case you didn't catch it, the answer is none of the above. It's none of the above. We're called to forgive like Jesus. So if there are sins he would forgive, there are sins that we need to forgive too. But Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. We've received mercy from God. Now we need to take that same kind of mercy that we have received from him and extend it to each person on our list. Now to take a step further on this, I want to give you a few more moments to write a note of forgiveness. Right? Now, just pick someone on this list that you may need to extend it to. This is not going to be a note that you necessarily need to send as is right now. Explain that in a minute. Maybe this for you is just the start of prayerfully considering how you need to address the person who hurt you and forgiving them. And again, I want to encourage you to be specific. Like, I have been hurt by you in this way, but I want you to know that I forgive you. Right? And maybe even be humble enough to ask forgiveness for any ways that maybe you've wounded them in response. Now, I realize sometimes writing and sending a note like this would do more harm than good, right? Like it would be a suggestion. Like they may not even realize they've hurt you, but you're dropping this bomb on them. It's not what I'm advocating here, all right? If it's just going to be a backhanded stab at them for something they've done to you, look, the goal isn't to slam anyone, so maybe you're actually never going to send this letter. Maybe you just need to focus on forgiving them from the heart on your part. And that's all that it ever becomes. But maybe they know they've hurt you. Maybe you know that they've asked your forgiveness, that they've said that they're sorry, but you've been holding back. You've been holding on tight to this thing. You don't want to let go. And this might be the opportunity for you to finally do that. So I want to just ask you to let God use this time, these moments, and this beginning of this letter, maybe it's just a rough draft, maybe it's just your thoughts, but to reveal to you where you need to extend forgiveness or overlook someone else's offense towards you so that it doesn't eat you alive anymore. Right? So let's take a few moments to write this out. Again, don't worry about getting all the words right. Just think of this as a rough draft, an exercise of the heart that helps us take a step toward forgiveness. So let's take a few more minutes and do that this morning, and then we'll wrap our time up together. You know, what you do with this letter, these words, this struggle, the reflection from here is really between you and the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to be mindful of what he might be prompting you to take action in regards to forgiveness. Just a closing thought with mercy is hardest when we're showing it towards those who we feel don't deserve it, right? Like it's easy when it's, this is a great person and they don't mess up very often and they, you know, we love them and they love us and we know that and it's easy to extend mercy. It can be really hard when it's someone who you feel is like, no, they really haven't done anything to make me want to forgive them. I was listening to a podcast. John Zondervan, who is a pastor of Radiant Church in Michigan, said this, and it really struck me in regards to this. You will never look more like Jesus than when you are forgiving someone, especially someone who doesn't deserve it. Think about what Jesus did on the cross. The thief who was at his side, he said, "You'll be with me in paradise." He forgave him. But not just that, as he was hanging on the cross being killed by people who wanted him dead and were shouting at him and mocking him, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." He certainly didn't deserve it. But he wanted to extend forgiveness to anyone who would receive it. And I think in the same way for us, we will never look more like Jesus than when we're showing mercy, when we're showing forgiveness to someone we feel who doesn't deserve it. And so we want to pray that this would be our heart this morning, and then we're going to close with a song. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, first of all, that you made a way through Jesus to make us right with you. We want to thank you that you have given us, extended to us your mercy, your forgiveness. A forgiveness, a mercy that is forgiving us fully, forgiving us faithfully, forgiving us forgetfully. And we know that you forgive perfectly, and we struggle with that. Lord God, as I think of the person and people that I've been wrestling with in my own heart this week in terms of forgiveness leading up to this message, and I know so many of us have those people in mind right now, we pray that you would allow us to forgive like you, that you would help us to forgive like you, that we would forgive fully, that we would let it go, truly let it go, that we would forgive faithfully, that we wouldn't hold back in it, but we would extend it just like you have to us, and that we would forgive forgetfully. And while that's not easy, we ask for you to help us to really, truly forget those things that we've said we've let go of, that we've forgiven. And God, as we do that, we pray that we would reflect your heart, that we would be beautiful people, and that we would look more and more like Jesus. And we pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.